Hello, this is Aaron, and welcome back to the podcast. You may notice that I am not using my intro music this week, and that's because I have officially rebranded the podcast as the Aaron Wren Show, as I said I was going to do next week. So the YouTube channel is probably not fully rebranded yet. I got some issues with banners and stuff like that, but the actual podcast feed is now the Aaron Wren Show. Hopefully you found it in your app. Obviously you did, or you wouldn't be listening to this. It'll be interesting to see if we lose anybody. And again, keep in mind, the other podcast that I had called the Aaron Wren Show, it should be gone pretty soon in your feed if it's not already. I'm going to start consolidating any of the interviews that I do into this feed. And so, in fact, I may actually move the monologue podcast, you would call them that, to Mondays. I think just because I can call it the Monday monologue. And then later in the week, I'll do the guests with the YouTube interviews, which I'll also be uploading to the channel. Call that the dialogues, in conversation with Aaron Wren, I think I'm going to be calling it. And again, some of you may be seeing this on YouTube. I actually decided to go back and start doing a video recording. And I've been doing that a couple times before. It's actually not super hard to do. Obviously, I got to set a few more things up for it. But I had a glitch with one of the software packages I was using. I use a software, a web-based app called StreamYard to do live streaming. It's pretty super simple for doing YouTube live streaming. It connects to YouTube, Facebook, all these different sites. And it's actually free if you're willing to put their little logo in the corner. So if you're ever interested in doing YouTube live streaming, you just use StreamYard. It's pretty easy. But they also have an option where you can record and then upload later, which is what I've been doing. And I did one, and I did a whole one with the video podcast, and then I downloaded the audio. And wouldn't you know, the audio level was awful, and I had to re-record it. After that, I said, I'm not going to do this again. And so this time today, I at least did a short audio test. So hopefully this one's going to turn out. But thank you for joining again. It's the Aaron Wren Show. And again, I am planning on starting more interview shows back up as soon as I get this rebranding complete, part of the rebranding that I'm looking at. So look forward to that. And so my title of the episode this week is Kids These Days. And there's so much in the press about Generation Z people and how messed up they are, right? We hear about, for example, kind of teenage girls who are really getting depressed because they aren't getting enough likes on their Instagram. Plenty of articles have been written about that. And then there are all these TikTok videos that people do, and people are like, "What? Who the heck are these people?" And one of the genres of TikTok videos out there is all these Generation Z people explaining their outre pronouns that they use. And there was one last week that came up where it was this person that had pronouns for called demon. So it was this person with these demon pronouns, and somebody else with they pronouns explaining how to use their pronouns. And so what I'm actually going to do is I'm actually going to play that. Somebody uploaded their TikTok to YouTube, and I'm just going to play it and let you listen to it. So hold on.
Hi, my name's Jasper. I use they at pronouns.
Hi, my name is Liana. I use they, demon pronouns.
This video is how to use our pronouns.
So we're going to basically present three sentences. One of them is going to have one pronoun, the other one's going to have the other pronoun, and then the last one is going to have both pronouns interchanged.
So Liana uses they, them pronouns and demon pronouns. So the first sentence would be, Liana is my partner, they are cute, and I am theirs. I love them very much, and I hope they love themselves too. For the demon pronouns, it would be, Liana is my partner, Deem is cute, and I belong to Deem. I love Demon very much, and I hope Deem loves Demon self too. Then interchanging the two would be, Liana is my partner, they are cute, and I am Deem's. I love Demon very much, and I hope they love Demon self too.
Okay, so if you are like older than 30, let's just say, you're looking at that going, well, I don't really get that. I mean, I could understand if somebody, you know, wants to be called by like the other's gender pronoun. Well, what the heck is a demon pronoun? Right? I never heard of such a thing. And then there's also this thing I think called demisexual that people came up with that apparently was originally created as a fictional device that people are now saying, well, that's me. You know, I'm this person. And so I see a ton of people who are, you know, really getting wound up about this stuff. And I think it's important for us to take a step back and put this in a little bit of perspective. And one of the things that we really see today that I think is, you know, an attitude that's not necessarily good to have is sort of this, the end is nigh. And, you know, I was a kid in the late 1970s when there was all this end times fervor, right? It seemed like there were all these signs that were coming to pass. You know, the Soviet Union was Gog and Magog. There's going to be a rapture. The tribulation's going to come. We're going to have to live off the land. All of that stuff. In fact, I think one of the reasons that we ended up out in the country, not totally sold on this. It's like when you're an adult, you know, when you're a little kid and you look back, you kind of have what I would call, you know, not necessarily great ability to process everything that's going on. I have memories, but I don't necessarily, you know, have a full appreciation of the scenario that I would have as if I were looking at it today from an adult perspective. I'm probably missing a whole lot, but I do think there was something of this end times related to our particular strain of the back to the land movement that we got caught up in. And then of course later, it kind of fizzles out after the collapse of the Soviet Union. People don't talk that way anymore. And I think there's always this sense of perpetual, the kids are, you know, they're crazy. You know, you can always go back to like even ancient Greece. It's everybody always thinks that the kids are kind of in moral decline. But I think this idea of moral panic around the shocking things that the kids are doing is something that has been just a recurring theme every generation, probably going back to the boomers and the hippies and how shocked, you know, everyone was at the hippies. I mean, think about that. Think about how shocking the kind of counterculture movement must have been, the kind of straight-laced kind of greatest generation, you know, grandparents like mine. They were the parents of this thing. I think about, you know, I have an uncle who passed away a year or so ago of a heart attack. And, you know, he was one of these counterculture guys that, you know, never kind of left it. You know, he stayed with it. He moved to Northern California, where a lot of them kind of ended up. He sort of lived that life. And I think about like, man, what were my grandparents thinking about this guy, you know, when he's involved in all this stuff, when he's in college and things of that nature. And, you know, the drugs and the Woodstock and, you know, Haight-Ashbury and the long hair and, yeah, you know, or even, you know, Elvis and his gyrations and all this stuff. And of course, most of these people actually turned out okay, right? So the counterculture of the 70s, most of them became the yuppies of the 80s, the most hardest working, most materialistic culture that we've essentially ever known. That's not to say that some people who got, you know, into drugs and this and that, or maybe criminal behavior, that some bad things didn't happen to some of them. There are definitely some people who screwed up their lives big time in that era. But most of the people did not permanently have their lives derailed by maybe getting involved in the free love movement or doing a little drugs in the 60s. You know, they grew out of it. And similarly, I think back to, you know, when I was a kid in the 80s, there was the emergence of this goth culture, this goth subculture. And so one of the things I'm going to do here is, for those of you who are on the thing, I'm going to pull up, share a screen from Google Images of just images of goths. So you could take a look at some of this. And if you don't have access to the screen share of the video version, just literally go to Google, type in the word goth, and click images and see what comes back. And there were no goths in my high school in the 80s because I grew up in a rural area, but I really sort of saw that subculture when I was in college and saw more about it in the 90s. But think about goths or punks or how insane that must have looked, you know, to my parents' generation. They must have thought, what the heck is this? And again, some people, you know, they tatted themselves up or did things like that that were permanent or whatever. You know, for a lot of people, that was kind of a phase and they sort of grew out of it and things of that nature. And oh, by the way, it was never more than a subculture. It was sort of a niche. It wasn't this massive thing. Most people were not doing that stuff. And I was even thinking about this in terms of you know, teenage mental health. And there was a movie that came out in 1989 called Heathers with Christian Slater and Winona Ryder. It was one of the great Generation X movies. It's them sort of in high school. One of the big plot elements of this is all about teenage suicide. And I think about that, like, there must have been, like, a panic about teenage suicide in that era. And I didn't go back and try to look it up, but, you know, there's periodically panics about these things. And there was teenage suicide going on there. There was a guy in my high school class. It wasn't in my high school class. He was 2 or 3 years older than me, who killed himself. And that was, like, a huge deal because, I mean, I went to a very small high school. There were 50 people in my graduating class. And this guy literally put a shotgun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. And I think about that now. I don't think it really registered on me at the time, but, like, I don't know if it was his family or if the person who found him. It must have just been one of the most traumatic experiences of your life, coming in and finding that. And it was a big deal. Like, teenage suicide is a big deal. And so, of course, there have always been these challenges all along and all these things. And I think kids always like to do things to shock the adults. And that doesn't mean it's purely being done for shock value, that there isn't a legitimate subculture going on. But I think it's very easy for us to turn into, you know, the curmudgeonly old man, you know, kids these days, they're this, they're that. And we end up in a situation where, you know, we end with this end is nigh, the sky is falling, it's the end of the world. And we start projecting these apocalyptic things onto the current age that may not be warranted in retrospect. Again, go back to the 70s in America. People thought it was over for America. Stagflation, Watergate, malaise, you know, all the drugs and all this stuff happening. And yet in the 80s, things sort of turned around. America kind of came back. So there is this pendulum that swings. There are these natural things that happen. And it's very easy for us to take things that are going on that we view as negative in the now, extrapolate them into the future, and predict that, oh man, the collapse is right around the corner. And again, I did that whole podcast on the collapse. And, you know, as I'm not saying we couldn't collapse, the country couldn't collapse, or that Gen Z is not going to turn out to be completely destroyed. It's certainly possible. But I think we need to be careful not to become too apocalyptic, because then often leads to us doing apocalyptic things that may not even be in our best interest or our community's best interest, our kids' best interest, et cetera. We have to have something of a sense of perspective and realize that we simply cannot predict the future. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. But one of the things I do think that's true of the Gen Z people, you know, that first decade of Gen Z, is that they had an unmediated access to smartphone social media technology that is probably going to represent a window in time of some sort of genuine dysfunction. And just looking back, again, I often see that some new social transformation comes along, and in the first 10 years, we're a little blasé about it, and then we realize, oh my goodness, look what's happening. And then there's sort of, well, we're going to make some adjustments going forward. And so the example I will give is my own generation is no-fault divorce and the divorce revolution. So in the 70s, it's like, oh, we're going to have this divorce. People are going to get divorced. It's better for the kids, right? If they're not with parents that don't like each other, all that stuff. And of course, the baby boomers were the me generation, and they had what they called the latchkey kids. You ever heard that thing? The kids were sort of like, you know, had to let themselves at home after school. They were sort of abandoned, sort of neglected. You know, again, Generation X stereotype. Now, again, my parents were divorced. I never suffered any kind of neglect like that. I was never a latchkey kid. But that was a sort of a thing that happened in the 70s. And then by the 80s, people say, wait a minute. Actually, it's not turning out okay for these kids to essentially be neglected and to be left unattended. And so you started seeing what? Baby on board. There was a much more child-centric sort of view coming into this millennial generation. Now, I happen to think we probably overcompensated with helicopter parenting and all that stuff. You know, probably Generation X, there was a lot of freedom. We were the last generation to experience the free-range children lifestyle, that we were able to, you know, be able to do things that our parents had done, other people had done in more socially intact generations. But now we're in this sort of socially disintegrating world, you know, fewer intact homes, more social dysfunction gradually creeping in. And like, yeah, the kind of absolute freedom that maybe my parents had in this kind of quote-unquote innocent age, not necessarily appropriate. We may have overcompensated, but you did see this pendulum shift. Oh, wait a minute. We're not going to raise kids in this lifestyle of latchkey kids anymore. We're going to adopt the baby on board lifestyle. It's going to be a lot more millennial child rearing, a lot less Generation X child rearing. And I think something similar is going to happen. You know, we've had a group of people who essentially spent their entire life, formative years, if you want to call it that, with smartphones or tablets and hardcore social media. And now we're starting to see the results of what has happened from them just to having essentially unfiltered, unmediated access to this device. I mean, I remember, you know, not long ago, it's like, oh yeah, you want your kids to have the technology. We have to make sure our kids grow up to be computer illiterate. Remember that? And so it's like, oh, this amazing technology gives them all this stuff. And we want our kids to have the latest. We don't want them to be Luddites or behind. And so it's like, yeah, give your kid the phone, let them do whatever. And I think now we realize like, oh, wait a minute. That sort of unfiltered, unmediated access to this raw technology is actually very bad for kids. And so now we see what Silicon Valley executives dramatically restrict their own children's access to technology. And I think there's much more cognizance by parents. You know, we have a four-year-old. And so, yeah, we think a lot about, probably screens. We probably need to make sure he does not become one of these smartphone junkies. We're going to have to limit, you know, what he has. And that doesn't mean, again, that doesn't mean, you know, going all full Amish or anything, but the pendulum's going to swing a little bit. We're going to realize, hey, this technology is something that is not entirely positive to the development of children, and we're going to have to put a lot more controls on it. So I think my prediction, if, you know, again, I just said you can't predict the future, and we can't, but my prediction, if you have to put myself out there, is going to be that there's going to be some sort of a pendulum shift back where today's parents, certainly in the upper middle class, but probably some are going to, there's going to be more thought around, hey, we need to protect kids from some of this stuff. And I think there's going to be a lot more pressure on these companies to, you know, back off on some of the algorithms that are targeting kids and things like that. And so I do think that Gen Z, much like the latchkey kids, who some of them really did suffer through these divorces and, you know, kind of, you know, a little bit neglectful upbringing, you know, there was some legitimate things there. And I think there is some legitimate things going on with these Gen Zs, this, especially these group who spent 10 years of sort of their, you know, 8 to 18 or whatever, 100% immersed in this digital, you know, smartphone type technology, social media technology. I think that is probably going to affect them. You know, and I think people have an ability to come back from things, but I think we're going to realize, hey, we're not doing that. So we would say it. So I would say the pendulum may swing on some of this stuff. If I were going to make a prediction, that would it. But what I think we need to be careful of is looking at some of these crazy TikTok videos or whatever and immediately leaping to generate, you know, general concise conclusions about, oh, it's a failed generation, or, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, or something of that nature. I think we have to take a step back and say, hey, there may be a lot of things going on in this world we don't like, but just because of that doesn't mean collapse is imminent or that we've had a lost generation, et cetera. I think we need to put some perspective. And I do think there are plenty of opportunities for even the people who really did suffer for that to come back. Yes, there are people. You know, if you took puberty blockers or you undertook some sort of like sex change surgery in your teens, and that's permanent. I mean, there's no way to undo that. You know, there are people who are going to suffer some potentially permanent effects, but there are going to be other people who, yeah, this was a phase, right? This was a phase. They grew up. They became a very different person. You know, we're not fated to live out the track that we were on when we were, you know, 14 or 15 years old and experimenting with goth culture or something like that. So anyhow, just wanted to throw that out there because I was seeing these TikTok videos and people were going crazy about this video over the dem and demon pronouns. And I'm like, look, let's put a little perspective on this. Let's not become the kids these days people and just kind of put it in perspective that this sort of thing with youth subcultures that are very shocking to the next generation is not a new phenomenon. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes, and we need to keep that in mind. So again, thank you very much for watching the newly rechristened Aaron Wren Show. And, you know, look forward to more announcements of the interviews that I'm going to be doing coming up soon. Thanks.